I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're about to, next week, complete a series from the first four chapters of Genesis. As you're turning to this, you know, when you're speeding down the interstate to Meridian or to Vicksburg or to New Orleans, you pass by exit signs for a number of cities and towns, and usually you pass them by without giving more than a passing thought about the towns you're passing through. You know, you're going this way, you got Raymond Clinton Edwards Pearl. This way you got, you know, Brandon Pearl, Pelahatchie, Forrest Newton, Chunky. Then you have Terry, Crystal Springs, Wesson, Brookhaven, Macomb, passing parade of municipalities. And as we approach verse 16, which is where we're going to start this morning, then we're going to just keep our Bibles open and work our way through the remainder down to verse 24. As we approach verse 16, it would be so easy for us just to speed past a phrase or a word. Well, not this morning. We're going to take an exit ramp. We're going to take a slow driving tour around the city limits of a place in verse 16. Let's read verse 16. And Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled, and here is the phrase, settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Keep your Bibles open. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that spiritually, your word shows us in no uncertain terms where we are. Lord, help us to understand better not only the culture in which we live, but how we oftentimes are absorbed into that culture and how we need to stand out from that culture. Lord, we pray you open your word to us now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Question, what and where is the land of Nod? Let me ask you another question. When you think of the land of Nod, what images pixelate themselves on the iPhone screen of your imagination? Well, I would think to most of us, associations with a place called Nod are pleasant, peaceful, you know, as in nodding off to sleep while someone's reading you a bedtime story like Goodnight Moon, which is designed to hypnotize you into sleep. It was a writer, Jonathan Swift, who once used the phrase, the land of Nod, in connection with sleep. Now, I understand that because these days we associate this land of Nod with a place that some people in some churches go to about 5 minutes after the preacher begins his preaching. I've had the privilege of both being a minister's son and being a minister, and I've actually seen some of these things. I've seen a man fall asleep during a sermon and bump his head on the pew in front of him. I've seen a minister sitting on the platform listening to another preacher preach, dozing off to sleep and dropping his book on the floor. I've seen people just drift into a deep sleep and all of a sudden, you know, wake up. And someone told me just the other day about a retired preacher who fell asleep during a sermon, and his wife nudged him during the sermon. The preacher stood and pronounced the benediction. Now, actually, I'm sympathetic toward those who have trouble staying awake in church. I really am. I know some of you work such physical jobs that when you sit down in church, it's the first opportunity you've had to relax all week. I know others of you take medication. One of the side effects can be drowsiness. Some of you, I know, are just dog tired on Sunday morning. You know what they say, Saturday night live, Sunday morning dead. And, of course, some people in some churches have to go through the ordeal of listening to what Roy Taylor used to call a Genesis 1-2 sermon. You know what that is? That's a sermon that is without form and void and darkness is upon the face of it. And so I understand that. And so falling asleep in church As long as you don't make it a regular part of your Sunday worship, is not a great concern to me. But what does concern me is for any of us to associate the phrase, the land of Nod, with anything peaceful, like nodding off or falling asleep. See, in the Bible, the land of Nod is not a pleasant place. It is a place east of Eden. It is a place away from being in the personal positive presence of Yahweh. It's a place to which Cain was exiled after this firstborn son of Eve, a young man who was expected to be a savior, became a slayer, killing his brother, Abel, and then turning around and playing the part of a petulant, pathetic whiner when the Lord confronts him about his sin. In other words, the land of Nod is where Cain and everybody after Cain has lived since Genesis 4. In other words, this is our current address. We are people living in a post-Genesis 3 fallen culture, and until we die or the Lord returns from heaven to earth to usher in the new heavens and earth, these verses describe our life situation. Now here in Genesis 4, God has called us to a sons of Issachar task. You may remember the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12, it was said of them that they understood the times and knew what God's people should do. And likewise, we need to understand our cultural surroundings so we will know what to do so we can live in a way that is distinctively counter-cultural. Three characteristics of a land of Nod culture. First characteristic of the culture in which we live is this. The land of Nod culture is spiritually adrift. Spiritually adrift. Look at verse 12. God says to Cain, "When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive," and notice, "and a wanderer on the earth." Look at verse 14. Cain says, "Behold, you have driven me away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer." And then in verse 16, the word Nod means restless wandering. You see, friends, this is the way sin's consequences are unpacked throughout the Bible. Sin leads to exile from the positive presence of the Lord. Sin leads to scattering, to dislocation, to disconnection, to living without a sense of deep roots. You see, apart from a relationship, a personal relationship with this covenant God, who is the one according to Acts 17 in whom we live and move and have our being, apart from the Lord, we will never be at home, no matter where we go. We will always be looking for that next new place, that next new thing, that next new relationship, that next job, that next house, that next experience that we hope somehow will settle our hearts and make us feel grounded. But the reality is, as long as we live apart from the Lord, we are simply sinners who are not at home wherever we go. We're always looking for that pot of gold somewhere over the rainbow, where bluebirds fly and chirp cheerful choruses of happy thoughts to our hearts and heads. Restless, wandering, spiritually adrift, not tied to anything permanent, not ever really filled, but always hungry, not guided by any fixed North Star. And the cultural stories that we tell ourselves, you know what, this is us. Let me give you just a few cultural stories. Many of you have seen the movie Tombstone. In that movie, Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday are talking about the notorious outlaw killer Johnny Ringo. And Wyatt Earp says, "Doc, what makes a man like Ringo do what he does?" Doc replies, "A man like Ringo has got a great big hole right in the middle of him. He can never kill enough or steal enough or inflict enough pain to feel it." There's a very handsome, very rich, popular movie star whose name you would know if I was to call it, who says in several interviews, as they talk about his success, he says, "I just don't know. I always have this deep, dark hole inside of me." And there's this very famous quarterback whose name you would recognize instantly. He's won more Super Bowls and MVP awards than any player in the history of the NFL. And as article after article says, for this man, football is his religion. But after football, what about it? What is the meaning of life? This famous quarterback in interview after interview says, "I don't know. I just don't know. I wish I knew where meaning was." Friends, these cultural icons speak for so many people living in the land of Nod, so many people stumbling through life as restless wanderers. Maybe you can identify, because there is one restless wanderer who used to be where you were. His name is Augustine, 5th century African bishop, who expressed our own experience well when he prayed, "Lord, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." In this fallen East of Eden world, people are restless. And you know what the good news is, though? The good news is this: we worship a God who loves restless wanderers like us. In fact, this Lord loves us so much that in Luke 19:10, he says, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." Friends, here before us is a Lord for wandering people. Here is a God who meets us in our lostness, gives us meaning and purpose and direction in life, gives us His Holy Spirit to actually come and take up residence inside of us, and then brings us home so that we can echo with the psalmist in Psalm 23, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." First characteristic of a land of Nod culture is spiritually adrift. Secondly, characteristic of the culture you and I are part of is this: the land of Nod culture is technically advanced. What you're about to see here in the family life of Cain, evidences of what theologians refer to as God's common grace. And that simply means this: it means that God does allow even His enemies to do good things for the advancement of civilization. The reformer Martin Luther put it this way, and I quote, said, "God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick." In our culture, let's face it, God has a lot of crooked sticks drawing straight lines, just like in Cain's family. Now read with me, beginning with verse 17. "Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city," notice, "he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Ired. To Ired fathered Mahujael. To Mahujael fathered Methusael. And Methusael fathered Lamech. And Lamech had two wives. The name of one was Ada, the other Zillah. Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of those who play the lyre and the pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and irons. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah." See what you see in those verses? Farming, music, technology. Friends, those are the tools that build civilization, all in one family. You know what this reminds me of? Those circular letters that families send out at Christmas time with news about their children's achievements. Imagine how Lamech and his wives must have bragged about their boys and their daughter Naamah. You know, the names of Lamech's wives tell something about them. The name Ada means pleasure, ornament, beauty. Zillah means shade. It has to do with a beautiful big head of hair, full of curls. We call it big hair. Daughter Naamah, the word means loveliness. And then you see repeated this phrase, the father of, the father of, the father of those, the father of those. And what's implied in that phrase is a step forward. What's implied here is progress. In other words, the next generation was further advanced than the generation that preceded it. And is that not our experience today? Just reflect on the last 100 years or so. Think about everything that you've seen come to pass. Think about it. Man flights, antibiotics, radio, television, computers, cell phones. Cell phone you have with you today has more computing power than a three-story mainframe computer had in 1979. And you're carrying it with you. iPads, cars, supermarkets, movies, recorded music on vinyl, 8-track, CDs, now MP3 downloads. The World Wide Web, you know, www, whatever you want. Emails, texting, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I saw a news anchor on TV the other night that had an iPhone sitting right there in front of the anchor, and this anchor was carrying on a conversation during commercial breaks with all her many Facebook followers. Wow. Huge advances in medicine, in life expectancy, huge advances in travel. And you know, we sit back and we wonder just what wonders our children and our grandchildren will see. It's just amazing. All that in the last 100 years. So here we see in Genesis 4 this amazing progress. But please understand this. It's progress even in a family of people who show no signs of interest in the living Lord. By the way, let's realize today in His common grace, God not only allows the ungodly to live, but He allows the ungodly to develop significant insights into different fields of knowledge. Engineering, science, medicine, politics, education, business, law, media. See, God allows the heathen to make so much progress in so many areas of life. Our cultural stories, one story after another of God drawing straight lines with crooked sticks. But eventually, something's got to give. In a culture of tech ninjas, who are also spiritual wonders, something always has to poison the progress. That brings us to our third characteristic of our cultural climate. It is spiritually adrift. It is technically advanced. But thirdly, the land of Nod culture is morally corrupt. So much progress. So many fronts. Things are looking up. Things are looking bright. But then just after this A-plus report card, there's this most unpleasant song playing on the airwaves of verses 23 and 24. Read with me. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 70-fold. You know, you notice here he doesn't bother to explain that. It's an interesting thing. It says, a young man for striking. We don't know what happened. Did he just bump into him? Was it an accident, an attack? Was it his status in society being threatened by some social media story posted about him? Was it road rage run amok? Was it a verbal assault of some kind? Was it exposure on social media of some kind? We don't know. It doesn't matter. But if I may bring up a couple of songs from the past, Lamech is Mr. Big Stuff, and you don't mess around with him. If you cross Lamech, you're a daisy if you do. Now think back, some of you, all of you can think back this far to some extent. 1999 rides off into the sunset. The sun rises on the 21st century. I remember the future looked bright. So much to look forward to. Such an exciting time in which to live. And you tell me, what happened 21 months later? 9/11. I ask you, friends, what could speak more eloquently of human progress than a jetliner with all that sophisticated equipment, those magnificent World Trade Towers? And then what could speak more bluntly of human brutality than to turn those planes into explosive missiles, than to fly those planes loaded with human passengers into offices filled with people? Remarkable human progress, human brutality, side by side. And then the people that did that blamed us for what they did. The ultimate sign of depravity. To commit that kind of mass sin and then try to blame others for what you did. But you don't have to think back to 9/11 to see human progress and human depravity walking arm in arm across the landscape of our cultural stories. Just go to social media. We can post videos of happy couples holding a newborn baby and pictures of people being beheaded by ISIS. People can post sweet pictures of their children and grandchildren posing for their first date, while some people, through our modern technology, send very inappropriate pictures to each other on their phones, pictures that can be hacked into and shared with the world. I've seen on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram people posting the sweetest, most touching tributes to those they love. Then I've seen people blowtorch and rip each other to shreds with criticisms and cutting, demeaning, brutal, hateful, spiteful words. People crushed, thrown under the bus of some social media post. I was thinking just this week, I was looking at TV, technological wonder, through which I saw on the local news stories about fatal shootings, domestic violence, a 71-year-old shot in his own house, and an armed carjacking. See, we need to remind ourselves every day. This is the story of our lives. This is the story of the threads of technological advancement and moral corruption weaving themselves together into a big, jumbled mess of human tapestry. This is life in the land of Nod. I mean, what do you expect from a world full of people who reject God's law and who determine for themselves what is good and evil? Well, what you can expect is this: thousands of years of technological progress, but no improvement whatsoever in human nature. To quote a description of human depravity in Romans 1:30, this reminds me so much of our age. Speaking of human depravity, and Paul says, they invent new ways of doing evil. With each new technology, there's a new way invented of committing an evil act. Let us remember, in the stories our culture tells, you know what the problem is? The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. I'll say it again, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. So what's the solution? It's not a tech problem, it's a heart problem. The solution is this: We need a transformed culture. We need culture to be transformed, but the problem is a transformed culture cannot be built by restless wanderers who take pride in determining for themselves what's good and evil, and then use technology to promote themselves and to attack people who disagree with them. You can't build a civilization that way, but you sure can blow it apart. And that's what's happening. What our culture needs is this. Our culture needs people who, by God's transforming grace alone, live their lives in Christ under the Lordship of Jesus as He speaks to us through His Word. You see, our culture needs people who will tell other people with unmistakable clarity that the only hope we have is in the Lord. The only object of our trust is the Lord Himself. And my prayer for all of us is that our story and our song would sound something like this. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. All other ground is shifting sand. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for people who are wandering spiritually. Lord, we pray that they would one day, by your grace, come home to God, who is their eternal home. Lord, we're thankful for the common grace you show to enable people to advance. We thank you for the progress, that just what we're enjoying this morning, right here and right now, is in so many areas of our lives. Lord, we know that you're a good God because you even allow pagans to make progress. And Lord, help us to realize that technology, for all the good it does, Lord, it simply makes sin that more pronounced also. Lord, help us to acknowledge that we can't build civilization and we cannot transform culture with people who are restless wanderers, prideful people, determining for themselves good and evil, using technology against each other. Lord, help us to pray for both personal and national revival. Lord, we pray that Christians, transformed by the grace of God, led by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, we pray that we would go out in the power your Spirit provides and have an impact on culture wherever it is that you put us. Lord, help us to realize this culture is spiritually thirsty. They need the living water. May we point them to the source, who is Christ Himself. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.